3-0, entity of 212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome once again to the Talking Sound Podcast, the only podcast on the internet where negative 10 is a number to be desired, coming at you live from the throbbing heart of rock and roll, that is Austin, Texas. I am Chris Jordan, your host, and today on the Talking Sound Podcast, we have our very good friend and co-host of the Dudes and Beer Podcast, Stephen Bishop. How you doing, Steve?
Doing great, brother. That's how it. Are you doing?
I am doing fantastic, man. And we've actually been kicking around the studio this afternoon, sure just have. doing some repair work, doing some, you know, it's one of those things that we talk about frequently on
and
here.
And it's fun, too.
It's super fun. It's something that we talk about a lot whenever it comes to having gear. You either need to be ready for maintenance yourself,
exactly,
or have a friend that is really good at gear maintenance. One of the two. Steven is a great hand. He's been here helping me put up some foam in the studio today, doing a little acoustic treatment, also plugging in a couple new pieces of gear into the rack, just tuning things in, having some fun. And I was like, hey, it's our normal Tuesday night. Typically, I come here, record an episode of Talking Sound, then shortly after, we do an episode of Dudes and Beer.
Sure.
And I was like, you know what? You're here. I'm here. Let's do an episode of Talking Sound, and let's do it about busking. For those of you in the know, busking is, it goes literally back to the beginnings of music as we know it.
Yeah, enlighten me on that, Chris.
Well, busking in and of itself is really an art form, and it goes back to the days of the troubadours and minstrels, where basically there were traveling musicians that went around from town to town, entertaining courts, entertaining people, entertaining towns. You could even go back to the Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Right.
He was a busker.
I've heard about those things.
Who basically came into a town. It was a horrifying story, actually. He came into a town and said, yeah, I can get rid of all your rats. People are so entranced by my music that I guarantee you I can write a song that will get all these rats to follow me out of town. And he did it. He came up with a song that was good enough that all the rats followed him out of town. And when the town didn't pay him for his music, you know what happened? He wrote a song that led all of their children out of town.
Whoa, dude.
He was like, if you won't pay me, I'll take your children in payment. And hold them until you pay me.
Wow.
How about that?
That is an awesome story, Chris. I like that.
It's pretty twisted,
I didn't even
actually.
Know about
but,
that.
But busking has a long, rich, rich tradition. And it's one of the ways that, you know, if you listen to songs like King of the Road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
there you go. King of the
it's,
Road.
It's a huge one. Talking
legend,
about, well, you know, it really talks a lot about union dues, things like that. And back in the day, you know, in order to be a musician, you had to carry a union card. They even talk about it in the Blues Brothers, you know, where it's like, here with the union. Do you have your card? And you're like, well, what if we don't?
My name is Jacob Stein, the American Federation of Musicians Union, Local 200. I've been sent here to see if you gentlemen are carrying your permits.
Of what?
Your union cards. May I see your cards, please?
Suppose we ain't got no union cards and we go in there and start playing anyway. Now, what you gonna do about that? You gonna stop us? Stein?
You know, what are you going to do if we don't?
Evolution.
You know, but it's, seriously, it's become an issue nowadays. And it used to be a rich tradition here in Austin. I remember seeing it when I was in high school, college age, even on into the 2000s. But a lot of cities now have gotten to, and it's always been to where you had to have a permit to busk.
Yeah, and I don't know if I totally agree with that, you know?
Well, and that's kind of what we're here to talk about. Because it is art. It is the creation of art. At the same time, man, if you're setting up an amplifier, you're taking up city power, you're putting out a trip hazard, all kinds of stuff. And what really rings this is recently, I guess it was in June, July, there was a gentleman that was actually arrested in the subways of New York. For busking.
Really?
And he was arrested by the toll authorities. And he knew the letter of the law. He knew how to protect himself. He absolutely had his city permit to do it. out on the streets. And what the arresting officer didn't realize is the fact that the rules in the subway system are totally different than the rules of the street because it's privatized.
I knew that was going to be the catch.
So, you know, we don't necessarily have that issue here in Austin, but it is a town that has a rich tradition of busking. It's a town that has a rich tradition of street music, that kind of stuff. And recently, I had the opportunity to go to the home of buskers, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Awesome.
You know, we talked about that on Dudes and Beer. Yes. I didn't really have a chance to do a full-on episode about the music of New Orleans. I mean, you can't cover it in a 30-minute episode. New Orleans, just can't. Yeah. It's so rich, such a rich, rich palette there.
Sure is.
But it is one of those places that, you know, we block off 6th Street here on Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. We barricaded off. Cars can't go down after, what, 6 or 7 o'clock?
Right in there.
Something like that.
Sure.
By the time the bars are taking IDs for the evening and kind of switching out the happy hour crowd for the evening crowd, they are actively barricading off the street and keeping cars from going down it.
Very true.
Now, they do that all over the place in New Orleans, Louisiana. It's not just on Bourbon Street. And what's interesting is that you can go and there's a jazz parade every day.
Every day.
Of some way, shape, or form, whether it's just a jazz parade, or whether it's a wedding parade or a funeral parade. There's some kind of parade going on. But aside from that, even on the streets where the parades don't go, you see quite a bit of it blocked off from cars and traffic because the people are out walking the streets, drinking, things like that. But what that also allows for is busking.
Yes.
And it's a huge culture there. You can go on almost, and I mean, some of these street corners, man, even like right down the road from Bourbon, one street over, like there is no way a car could get through. Because, like, there is such a large crowd of people there checking out the talent on the street corner.
Because of the busking.
Because of the busking culture. And, you know, busking is really, it's one of those ways that people have always gotten their art out to the people.
Exactly.
And always brought about traveling stories, things like that.
Exactly.
And it's a rich, huge tradition here in America. And it's really starting to kind of go away. I know you're an actual Austinite. At least as close as you can be.
You
were born down right down the road
down the
in
road.
Comal County and came here. By the time you were in early junior high, you've been living in Austin.
Yep.
So in that time, I'm sure you've seen things in the music scene change quite a bit here.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, when I was like in high school and stuff, you know, probably when I shouldn't have been on 6th Street and I was on 6th Street and stuff. You know, stuff like that. You know, I mean, I saw more busking back then than I do now.
Yeah.
I've noticed. It isn't as so much as it is now than it was. Wait, I said that right.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was like the King. I remember the King. There was a guy with the crown. Man, everybody knew this guy. And he played good music and he'd be on the street. And he was like a fixture or an Austin icon. And not sure if he's still around or not.
He was the equivalent of Austin's Naked Cowboy.
Yeah. Or you see that equivalent of the Naked Cowboy, you know? And, you know, stuff like that. I mean, every now and then, okay. I guess down the street from the area where I used to live at, there's like Riverside and Metropolis area.
Yeah.
I don't know if this counts for busking or not, but there's a guy in a wheelchair, and he set up makeshift drums or whatnot, and instead of panhandling like with a sign or something, he's sitting there playing drums.
Yeah.
And he's in a wheelchair
and
he's doing drums.
And that is absolutely busking. It would be considered panhandling most of the time because it's next to the freeway.
True. Yeah.
Next to the freeway. But technically that's busking. You're out playing music for the people on the street, showing your art, and you're asking for donations for it. You aren't just holding up a sign asking for some money. You are exchanging talent for cash at that point. And you've heard me make the analogy before just in casual conversation. I've said it here on Talking Sound. I've said it on Dudes and Beer. I, at the ripe age of 40, have come to a very, I'm not going to say a huge distinction, but a distinction nonetheless between musician and artist.
Right.
Like, I consider you an artist. You play music. You just play music. That's what you do. If you get paid for it, great.
Right.
If you didn't get paid for it, you'd still be out there on a Thursday night playing music.
Right.
Musicians are, I consider myself the same way. I'm an artist. I'm not a musician. I have hours upon hours. Like, literally, if you went to the music of Christopher Jordan page on HD Productions that you've seen,
yep,
you can listen to music for 30 hours straight and not hear the same song.
Right.
30 hours. And that's just on that website. Like, with no disassemble and Shaq Jones, I got, with Shaq Jones alone, we got 5 hours of music. You know, like, there's a vast amount of my music.
Yeah.
And I've not been paid plum nickel one for any of it. There have been a couple of shows where, you know, we made enough for some beer on the night, like $50, whatever. I've always had a straight job. So for me, my music was something that if people got it, awesome. I'd much rather people hear it and share it than make money off of it, because I'm going to keep making it,
and
whether people buy it or not.
Of it, really, you know, that's a whole lot of the beauty of it.
It is. You know,
a lot of people might not understand that, but it's a way of life. It's something that it's a calling in your soul, and it's something you're born with. Something you're born with, and there's some people that might when they're younger, like, play guitar or something or other, and they might get that corporate job or whatnot, but it's the ones that keep going, and the ones that they risk it all and say, this is what I want to do, and rather, against all odds, do what they love to do against all odds. And that's where it is at.
You know? Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And that's why I see busking as an utter necessity. It's an utter necessity. It's a musical tradition, not even American. Not even American. It goes beyond borders. Just about every culture has a tradition of a traveling musician.
True.
Or a traveling
very
poet.
Yeah, that
would go around from place to place telling stories, stuff like that. I mean, that's how stories used to get around before we had a system of writing.
Yeah.
Things were passed down orally, even in the Native American tradition. A lot of their stories, songs, things like that are not written down. And they're actually in danger. Even me as a Cajun, we're in danger of losing a lot of our culture because it's not written down and it was passed on person to person. And the culture has literally been disingrained from the generations.
Right.
It's been considered a point of ignorance to speak the Cajun culture for years.
Mm.
I remember at the time that I was a kid hearing stories from my grandmother that they would get in trouble for speaking Cajun in school. They would actually, like, get sent to the corner, be put in the dunce chair. They would be whipped, things like that, for speaking their native language in school, because it wasn't English. It was considered a point of ignorance not to know English.
Wow.
And now it's to the point that Cajun is a foreign language.
Really?
In
seriously?
Louisiana.
Seriously?
It's taught as a foreign
language.
It's taught as a foreign language. And you have the option of taking it, maybe, but it doesn't count as your foreign language whenever you go to college.
Wow.
Like, you can take
Cajun.
I did
not know that, Chris.
But, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. And to think about, I'm not going to say that that's going to be the point of music.
Right.
I'm not going to say that music's going to get to that point. But you definitely start removing a lot.
Yeah.
From the people and from the movement itself, whenever
the
you
movement,
start taking things like that away, you know,
increments.
It's baby steps, man. And, you know, to me, busking is one of those things that is so entirely integral to an art scene. Coming from Houston, where we had street festivals, art festivals, things like that, where artists were set up out on the street doing live art, making art live, doing paintings, sculpture, that kind of stuff, with the Westheimer Arts Festival. And some of that was carried along with the traditions of South by Southwest here.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Sure.
But a lot of it was canceled out with stuff like South by Southwest as well.
Mm.
As South by has become more corporatized.
More corporatized.
That kind of stuff.
I was going to say,
it's really, like, I remember in college going out, and, dude, if you had an outlet and a 3x3 square of sidewalk, you had a musician out on it playing.
Nice.
And now in order to do that, you have to have a permit.
Jeez. By any chance, you know these permit fees? By any chance?
Off chance, no, but yeah. I can put them up on screen, most definitely, in post-production.
It's just ridiculous. But I do know for an artist to pay a fee.
Just with the musicians that I know and the engineers that I know that put on small shows during South By, those permits are getting fewer and fewer.
Yeah.
They're getting fewer and far between. I had one musician last year that's used to putting up, not musician, but engineer rather, that's normally putting up a good 5 small stages, you know, where maybe there will be some singers and songwriters, things like that. He's supplying a couple speakers on sticks, you know, maybe a couple 5 microphones during the day. But even he was cut down to the typical 5 stages that he provides to like 2.
Ooh, that's a huge cutback.
It's a big cutback. And whenever you're talking about that kind of stuff, you really are subtracting the local artists from the scene. You really are making it to where the smaller artists can't be seen. It's harder for them to get onto that larger stage, to get out to a bigger audience. You have to have some representation. You have to have some money to pay for your time, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's kind of crummy. I can kind of see their point because, you know, oh, it's South By. We have to make sure that what's out there is South By quality. You know, there has to be some kind of quality control as well. But at the same time, is that what it was really all about?
Right.
Was it about keeping Austin weird? Was it about getting music out to the people? If so,
keeping
then...
keeping Austin weird out of your festival is what it is.
Well, yeah. Well, and my wife has a good aspect on the keeping Austin weird thing, you know. Is it the fact that we're actually keeping Austin weird, or is it the fact that there has become a corporatized weird Austin?
Exactly. You know, perfectly put on that one. Yeah.
Is it the fact that all these kitschy little places that are Austin, whenever you go to them, are kind of run down and kitschy, and even whenever they're new, the spaces are kind of like that?
It's like when radio, like the AM band, finally figured out the top 40. We're going to keep playing the top 40, you know? It's like, no, man. Well, there's other things out there.
Well, even with that, though, you know, you look at AM, because I was an AM radio technician on air.
But before, like DJs were playing what they wanted to play when they first came in and radio started.
Yeah.
And then when it got, whatever, more corporatized and whatnot, and then figured out the top 40, you know, and all that. And then it was like they, whatever the producer, whatnot.
Well, we were talking earlier. I mean, Video Killed the Radio Star being the first song that MTV ever put out.
Yeah, the first video.
Was more prophetic than anything you could probably ever imagine in the music industry.
There was right there, right in your face.
There's
your music television right here.
You know, you may need this medium. It was pretty much, if you're not on this medium, you will not be successful. And that's the way it became for years. And just recently, here in the last decade, have we seen the true resurgence of the independent artist.
Right.
The true resurgence. And granted, a lot of that has to do with digital engineering, the capabilities of home recording, computerized recording, all that kind
of
stuff.
Sure has gotten easier.
Has really made a big, big difference in that and the readily available product of music. And would you say that yourself? Because, I mean, we're sitting right over here in front of us is actually a stack of gear for your studio that I'm providing. You know, it is one of those.
Very nice.
Just even in your experience with your tracking process, have you seen the difference between going digital and the readily available aspect of mixing, mastering, all that kind of stuff on your own and tracking, as opposed to going into a studio and tracking like you did with the Centers of Attention, that kind of stuff?
Right. I totally see a huge difference. I can do so much in my own time, you know, by myself, and get so much done. It's insane with the digital technology that's come along throughout the years. It's made it so much easier for an artist, I guess, to get their stuff out there and stuff. I'm able to do stuff, you know, it's insane. And I'm behind myself. I should be putting out more stuff than what I am, Chris. You know, I really have so much stuff, but I just hadn't gotten around to it.
But, I could appreciate that.
But at the same time, yeah, I mean, I have the appreciation for digital and analog. You know, with the centers that I'm in, we recorded, you know, analog, to tape first, basically. Yep. We used digital for the editing. And so I really do appreciate very much so the digital in the editing. That's why I get I like it the most for myself, personal
yeah.
use.
Yeah.
It's so much easier, so faster. You know, on my own spare time and stuff, creativity for an artist and stuff, it's taken it so much to an extreme level compared to, like, I don't know, you know, back in the 80s or something. You know what I mean?
Most definitely. Where it was thousands of dollars for a piece of gear, things like that. Nowadays,
I have to reference, you know, like 80s, because people and artists now that are constantly posting to SoundCloud or Bandcamp. Yep. Are putting stuff on there that, like, that would have taken them so much money, so much time to do and produce or make or something or record. You could do it at your home now or room.
Yeah, as long as you have a quiet space, you're good.
Quiet space, you know, and that's really cool, really cool. I like digital to a certain extent, and I think it's good for a lot of things. I think it's good to a certain extent, and depending on what you're going for, and you know, it's there and it's great, and personally, it's how much you want to use of it and what you're going for, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly, and that's what I tell people all the time whenever they ask me if I have analog and digital tracking. I say yes. I have a quarter inch reel machine. If we need to, we can do things two tracks at a time and bounce them over. It's a four track machine, so we can do four tracks at a time and do it all on quarter inch and bring it over to digital afterward.
Speaking of the Sinners album. I was thinking back on it, that if we would have recorded it straight digital, I don't think it would have sounded that great.
No.
Yeah.
No. I think quite honestly, if y'all had recorded it digital, y'all would have been prone to a lot more retakes and punch-ins than what you did. And what y'all came out with was a fantastically representative piece of music.
Right.
Y'all came out with a really good representative album of what you sound like live, what the songs are. It was a fantastic take. It was a really, really good job that y'all did, and a great job that the recording shed, tape shed, did here in town. They did a great job, and you know,
shout out to the tape shed.
I did a lot of things like that. I did a lot of singer-songwriter albums, you know, one-take things, a lot of rehearsal space demos when I lived in Maine. And Maine, in and of itself, has a large busking culture.
Really?
Huge busking culture.
I wouldn't guess that.
They highly encourage it. Well, whenever I lived in Portland, Maine, people would ask me all the time what it was like to be from Texas.
Yeah.
You know, especially what's Austin like? That was always the hot question. Oh, what's Austin like? And it's like,
wow. It's like we're a hot spot.
it's like Portland, Maine without the ocean view.
Wow.
Like the vibe was very much the same. The music scene was just as diverse, and it was all centralized in one area.
Yeah.
It was a great town, and they highly encouraged busking. You did not need a permit to busk in Portland, Maine.
See,
you
I needed think that, no that permit. Might be something that some people like about it.
Well, and that's something that, you know, really does need to be checked out. If you're wanting to go out there, guys, and be out there on the street corner, entertain people, please, please check into your local permits. It's nothing more than calling City Hall and asking for the permit office and letting them know what you're wanting to do. You know, you'd be surprised. A lot of times, like, you know, Portland, Maine would let me come out and set up an actual tent on the...
Really?
Yeah, like out on the Maine State Pier. They'd let me set up a tent. They would let me plug into the friggin'... I could go out there every weekend and put on a live show if I wanted to. No permit required.
I think, like, we're going to Portland,
there was some permissions required and all that, but all I had to do was tell them who to call. Like, that, it was that small of a town, you know, of only all of 30, 40,000 people in actual Portland.
Holy cow, man.
You know, you could literally be like, hey, call so-and-so on the city council. Yeah. I talked to them about this, and they told me I could be on here. And they would, they'd call them up, and it'd be all cool. You know, most of them, they are, you know. As long as you weren't providing a trip hazard with cables or something like that, they were like, go for it, man. Make some art. Make something beautiful. This is great.
Now that's the right attitude.
Know, it was like, and it was great. You know, they really encouraged that kind of stuff. It's a huge arts community up there. There are some amazing artists, video, photography, all over the place. And they would they encouraged that kind of stuff all the time. You know, artists coming out and setting up their wares on the sidewalk, that kind of stuff. If you were going to be somewhere that necessitated a permit, they would let you know that you needed a permit.
I think Austin needs to be a little bit more like that.
Well, you know, it's really a pretty loose town most of the time, especially with filming, believe it or not. Most places require you to have a permit to film. Austin, like, if the cops say, oh, what are you doing? You know, you're like, oh, I'm filming something. Oh, okay, cool. What are you filming? Like, they'll literally, like,
filming you?
Yeah, they'll literally start up a conversation with you. You know, like, oh, what are you shooting? You know, that's pretty cool. Yeah, it's so ubiquitous to see cameras, you know, audio packages out on the street for
that
kind of
stuff. See
that
little bug over there?
You know.
In the flowers?
Yeah, yeah. But it's the fact of that kind of stuff is typically encouraged here. But it didn't get encouraged in a lot of cities. You know, you get to places like Detroit, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not really encouraged. And in New York,
is there anybody
you definitely,
to encourage or discourage over there?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Okay. The cops will come and cite you. They'll give you a citation. And if you're there more than one day in a row, they'll probably come, they'll come back later on in that day and see if you're still chilling there. And if you're still there the next day, they'll probably come give you a ticket, or they may just arrest you for, you know, public trespass, you know, something like that. But it's interesting, you know, because busking is one of those things that it really does bring music to the people. It brings such a different vibe to a city. But at the same time, it can get really out of control. You know, you can have it to where there's like a different person on every street corner doing their thing. Mm. And some cities like that, some cities don't.
I can kind of maybe, you know.
I mean,
understand that.
Well,
yeah,
even
I'm
here
sure.
in Austin, I it's mean, gotten to where
there's always
like,
a over extreme of everything or anything. You know?
That's just it. There has to be a delicate balance before, you know, you're getting in the way of things. But it's interesting going to places like New Orleans, where they do have different street performers. You know, there were magicians set up out in the middle of the road doing shows. There were actors out doing shows.
And this wasn't even during like a particular holiday, right?
No, this is just about every friggin' night.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow, that is
amazing. It's pretty cool. And
I need
you know,
to check that out.
Well, to see that kind of stuff and to encourage that kind of stuff, I think is huge. It makes a big difference. It really does show the artistic bend to your city if you have one.
Because
not every city is artistic, so to speak.
Right.
You know, New Orleans really does. It's a delta city. It's right there at the mouth of the Mississippi. You know, it was a trade city. It was a place where it was a port city. People came in, did business, you know. So you find that kind of attitude a lot in port cities where people are coming and going, that kind of stuff. New York, Boston. You find that kind of stuff a lot. You know, Portland, Maine is one of the deepest water ports in America. You know, so deep, as a matter of fact, that submarines from the Germans were found there during World War II. In the Bay of Maine, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's interesting to look at not only history and where history has brought us from musically,
right.
but where we're going as well.
Exactly.
And to try not to discourage this stuff, but to encourage it is so important. To young musicians, to musicians that are working on stuff, you know, like to be able to try that stuff out before you're in front of a paying audience, before you're in the studio, that kind of stuff. We were even talking earlier about studio preparation and preparing yourself to be in the studio. Play it. Know it backward and forward. Know what the beginning of the third verse is. Don't be lost on it.
Exactly.
You know, and the only way you can do that is through playing it and doing it over and over and over and making it rote muscular memory.
That's exactly right.
That's what a lot of busking is. Is, you know, that old blues aspect of getting out in front of people and playing it and playing it. And, you know, speaking on that, before we leave, we're going to have Steven play us a song on the way out. But before we do, ladies and gentlemen, please, while you're online, checking out your local busking laws, your local busking regulations, things that you should look for, a good street corner, lots of cross traffic, you know, places where people aren't already posted up. Because believe it or not,
that's hard to come by.
There gets a little hobo aspect to it, where it's like, "Hey, what are you doing on my street corner, man? I play here every Tuesday."
Hey, I'm panhandling. Sorry, bro. You ain't playing no music. I'm panhandling.
Sorry about that. You know,
it's my corner.
So you do kind of have to.
I've always wondered if
space.
People like argue
oh,
over
no,
corners.
Oh no, they most definitely do, man.
It's my corner.
They most definitely do.
No, I'm my corner.
It gets pretty hardcore. But while you're online, checking out those local laws, regulations regarding busking, what you can do to get yourself out there busking, please stop on by the Talking Sound podcast. Check us out. There are tons of articles there, tons of industry news. We just got some new stuff up from Avid Blogs, from Ableton Live, as well as from Rupert Neve. Some great articles there, as well as some technical videos, tips and tricks we have coming up from our friends at Lucky Run Studios in Houston. We're busy shooting some stuff with them right now,
nice.
As far as, you know, tips and tricks in the studio and recording, kind of stuff. And please, Steven, what are you going to play for us?
Well, I'm going to try and play something that I haven't played in a while. It's a little ditty. That's all I can remember.
All right. Well, go ahead. Pick up the guitar over there in the corner and let it rip, man. Let us hear it.
See if I can remember these things. I know I'm going to go back on what I just said, contradicting hypocrite myself here. You need to come in knowing your stuff, right?
That's it. That's yep. it.
And I haven't played, this is a original that I hadn't done in a while, so.
Right here, buddy.
I got it ass backwards here.
That's all right.
I'm
it's
not
a,
used to
it's
the.
It's a bass awkward one.
I'm not used to it here.
Going to the capo on two. Capo on two for all of you out there in the listening audience. It sounds gorgeous. Let us hear it, man.
Let's see if this works out here. Scoot this chair back a hair. I keep my mortgage straight, so why do I get letters I'm late? Charlie Banker, he's bringing me down. Charlie Banker, he's bringing me down. Walk in, you even call me friend. True friends wouldn't bear you alive. Charlie Baker, you're bringing me down. Charlie Baker, you're bringing me down, yeah.
That is Stephen Bishop playing guitar. I am Christopher Jordan, your host. This has been Talking Sound Podcast. Please, everybody, check us out online, www.talkingsoundshow.com. Until next time, take care and keep reaching for 11. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.